to this week's Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Alex Morvigan. Now, you are from Siberia. That's kind of cold.
Yes, it is.
But is it cold all year round, or is it just in the winter months?
Well, from the region where I'm from, we have proper summer and proper winter. The only difference is that, like, you wake up, make yourself a cup of tea, look in the window, and that's it. Summer is over.
Ah, okay.
But when it is summer months, which normally lasts around 1.5 months, it could go as up as plus 35.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it is. Is that global warming, or that's how it was when you were growing up?
No, it has always been like that.
Okay. And what is Siberia famous for apart from snow?
That's a very good question. Like, that's a very big region. So overall, cold and Siberian prison are probably the most famous things. But if you take a region one by one, they're all very unique, with a unique culture, unique languages, and unique people living there.
So what part of Siberia are you from then? You're saying how large it is.
Well, I was born in a republic called Khakassia. And even though I'm not a representative of a local population of Khakassian people, they all, like the native population people who lives in this republic, they look Asian. They have their own language.
Okay.
And their own traditions and their own religion.
Hmm.
And it was very interesting to get to know it and growing in this region. And as a child, I was like, as a part of a school education, we would go to a museum and see the different traditional things, the traditional houses, how would they be built. It would always have, if not mistaken, six corners, like six points.
Okay.
And it would always be split into two parts. The one would belong to a woman and the other to a man.
Oh, I like this idea. Okay.
But the overall house would be like 10 square meters. So.
Oh, maybe I don't like that part. Where do all your shoes go?
They would put, they would always have like a hole in the roof for the fire to go.
Uh-huh.
So like, that's an area, we are talking very, very old houses. Mm-hmm. Nobody lives there anymore. Yeah, that's one of the traditional things. I can go on and on, but that's only one region which I represent, sort of. But they also, like, the next republic would be Tuvalu Republic, and even though the native population is also looks Asian, they speak different language. They, if you go in there, you'll see huge influence from China that used to own this part back then.
Okay.
And the main religion is Buddhism as well.
Okay.
So even in the architecture, when you go there, it looks like you're in China, but it's part of Russia.
So when you grew up, you had this sort of mix already. And do you sort of pick and choose? Or because now you live in Malta, are you introducing other cultures into your own life as well? Obviously the Maltese culture and...
Yeah, I think being born in this environment and then traveling the world, it always makes you more open-minded and more open to other cultures. And more you get to know other cultures, more you get to know your own, because you see the differences, you can compare, you start being interested in it. So I think it's a very good thing.
So you had a child in Malta, you have your daughter Alice.
Yes.
What of the traditions from your home did you use, or do you follow for having a child here?
Well, the first tradition would be the discharge day, when the mother and child are discharged from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the whole family would be waiting for them at home, a big table full of food, people would be drinking and talking and bringing gifts. That's a big thing, which apparently did not happen to us that much. But I have a friend, and his girlfriend is from Ukraine, and we share all those traditions a lot. So she was there very, very much involved into this thing. And because it happened to be Sunday, like, one of the other things which you would do, you would bring flowers to the mother.
Okay.
So she calls up her husband and asks, Patrick, where can we buy flowers today? Because we go to the discharge. And he's like, it's Sunday and cemetery, obviously. Well, we obviously didn't go there. I found a flower shop that happened to be open on Sunday, luckily. But it was quite a challenge. So that's one funny story about this tradition.
The difference there. So you would take flowers, you would have food. Is there a special gift that you give to a child at birth? Or do you have a sort of welcome to the world type ceremony?
No, there is nothing like special. Basically everything that the kid might need. Some clothes, some baby stuff.
Mm-hmm. But practical,
yes.
Useful, time out for the mum type gifts.
Yes, yeah, or maybe something for the pushchair and a bottle or whatever.
Oh, that's way more practical than some of the, you know, these silver things that get put in a box and generally you don't get looked at again. So this thing around food is the part of Siberia you're from. Is there any particularly famous foods that you would have at this time, or is it's just your standard food of that time of year?
Well, I maybe address this question a little bit more generic. The whole tradition of any celebration in Russia is gathering around the table full of food. The food there in particular would depend on the time of the year. Like there are some stuff that's just famous for summer. There is like a summer soup we call akroshka. It's more of like a salad of fresh vegetables mixed with a liquid that we call kvass. It's a drink made from bread. Yeah, it's a very specific thing, but I like it a lot, and it's a very refreshing. It's a cold soup, so
And this is
yes.
something that you can make here as well. You can get together the ingredients and make the liquid bread.
The liquid bread thing is the most challenging one. You can buy one in the mix shop, and or you can try to do it at home, but that might require some additional preparation. So,
But no, just if
yeah,
you
but we
can.
do it from every now and then during the summer.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice to keep your traditions when you travel, I think. So if I was going to be invited to your home for dinner to potentially try this, you know, bread soup salad, what are the sort of rules? What time would you normally eat? I know maybe it's changed now you've lived in Malta, but if you were at home in Siberia, what sort of time would you have dinner? Would people come to your home? What would the sort of rules be?
Well, I think I would expect people being a little bit late from the time that you actually set up the dinner for. That's expected, especially if it's a birthday, 1 hour late is fine.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how it happens.
Okay.
Then everybody comes and you sit around the table. You start with normal salads and then you get to the main course. Drinking vodka is still something my parents do. And that's also like, even though like it's a famous Russian drink, I was surprised when I saw people drinking it on the rocks or something like that, because that's not the way we do it. And there is the whole culture and tradition around that as well. So when you're around the table and you eat a lot and you have like food and you have a shot of vodka every now and then, you don't really get drunk. So it just brings you in a very good mood, and
It keeps you warm.
yeah, and helps the conversation to flow,
So you just have it neat. You don't mix it with anything. It's pure, just a shot of
yeah,
vodka.
just shot of vodka.
And how many of those would you think you'd get through in an average meal?
Well, we're not talking about average meal. You wouldn't do it for a normal dinner, but if it's a celebration, you have people over, that's something you would do. But then I don't know, six, seven.
And you don't drink wine with dinner. It's purely vodka, or has that changed over time?
Well, my mom would drink wine probably most of the time because she doesn't really like that heavy drinks. But my dad he likes vodka, so that's like, I couldn't say like it's a gender drink related, but women tend to gravitate towards something a bit more light, like wine or champagne. When men, like my dad's generation, they really respect drinking vodka and having culture around that.
Fantastic. Is there a sort of a dress code when somebody comes to your home? Are you expected to be, because it sounds like it's generally a celebration, would you expect to be smart, or is it just weather dependent and there's no issue?
Well, it's not like very strict, but yes, people try to look nice. My mom would wear a dress and the makeup, and my dad would have a nice skirt, right?
A suit.
Suit. Well, maybe not a full suit, but
But he would look smart still as
yes.
well. And would a guest have to, what kind of gift would a guest bring? Would they bring vodka or wine or chocolates or flowers? What would be the.
A dessert would be a thing,
Ah,
a
yes,
cake.
okay.
If it's not just a Friday gathering and there is like a particular reason, then bringing flowers to a woman is a nice tradition. It's not only a romantic context. It's something you would do for your mom, for a teacher, or for a friend who can be like a wife of your friend or something like that. So
So
it's totally fine.
there's no sort of messaging in flowers that if
No, no,
you,
no, no.
because there are some countries where if you have to bring an odd number or an even number, or if you bring this
That
color or that color.
exists, yes. So there is a whole thing around flowers, and my flower shop in Nashua already get to know all these traditions. So it has to be even number, and Then there was a stupid song about yellow flowers, that it's like a sign of break of a soon coming breaking up,
Oh.
so nobody buys them.
Oh.
But
Poor yellow
overall,
flowers.
you can also buy, like, it's only tulips though, yellow tulips.
Oh, okay. So any other yellow flower is fine, just not
Yes,
yellow tulips. So don't take
tulips.
yellow tulips to somebody from Siberia's home.
To your girlfriend in particular.
Oh, okay. So you're saying people would generally they can arrive up to about an hour late. That would drive me mad. So is the food the kind of food you prepare? Would it be stuff that you don't have to stay in the kitchen? It's all ready, so it can just be served as people show up. You wait for everybody to show up and then you start the meal.
Yeah, you would normally, well, maybe you have your main course being in the oven and you would go in and check it every now and then. Salads are usually ready,
Ready,
they're already in
yeah.
the fridge.
And I'm going to ask a stupid question.
Yeah.
Is a Russian salad Russian?
That's a funny story. There's Russian salad called Russian salad everywhere in the world but Russia. And
Ah.
in Russia, it's called, it's a French word, Olivier. So the history goes back to the Russian king and the French chief. French chef that made the salad for a Russian king, a Russian Tsar, and he liked it a lot, and that became one of his favorite. As far as I know, the original recipe changed a lot because it had a very like top-notch ingredients that normal people wouldn't be able to afford or buy it. So that it was oversimplified and became to what people know as a Russian salad.
But that is something you actually do have in your home. You do
Yes.
you do have it, so but you call
Yeah.
it Olivier.
Olivier,
Yeah.
and it's a very New Year thing.
Ah, just at that time of year.
You can eat it like all at any time of the year, but it's definitely something you have on a New Year table.
Fabulous. What other things would you have at New Year? Because you do New Year, but you do your Christmas presents after.
Yes, that's another thing. So the main religion in Russia is Christianity, but it's Orthodox Christianity, and the difference is with what we have in more days, but mainly calendar dates.
Okay.
I'm not that much ex expert on the subject, but yeah, I know that we celebrate Christmas 7th of January. And when it comes to the New Year celebration, the New Year is a bigger celebration than Christmas. Christmas is like a family thing, and the New Year is a big celebration. Like the entire country have like 10 days holidays after.
Wow. Okay, so when does your New Year is though, the 1st of January, or is that also after the
Yeah,
Christmas?
we celebrate the New Year. We have the countdown on the Kremlin clocks, on
Okay.
all the TVs, on the night on 31st of the first one.
Okay.
Then we celebrate it throughout the whole night. And then we have, usually the next day, all the guests would come back to the place where everybody celebrated because there's plenty of food left. And yes, and then usually it's public holidays up until the 10th of January.
Right, that's quite generous. Yes. Okay. So you miss that part of living in Siberia, I guess, having the first 10 days of January off.
Yes, that's a nice thing to have, indeed.
Okay, I think we should start sort of discussing sort of a bit of, coordination and us having a few more days off of Christmas. We don't even do you celebrate Boxing Day? You don't have any of that then. So you don't do the 24th of December, you don't do any of that. It's purely around the 7th, New Year and the 7th of January.
Yeah, 7th of January, and we don't do the Boxing Day. Till very recently, I thought the Boxing Day is the day when you unbox your presents.
Ah,
But then it was explained to me that's actually the when you put all the leftovers in the boxes and give it to charity.
yeah.
So that's what we call like 1st and 2nd of January, but nothing really is left, so people just finish it all, basically. Yeah, so that's why we
Don't have that
don't
tradition.
have that tradition. And as I said, Christmas is a very family, like small gathering, so we don't cook that much.
Okay, and do you have presents?
Not on Christmas, no.
Ah.
That's all, it all comes for the New Year.
Right.
And then there is another cool thing, which called, literally, it's translated like Old New Year.
Right.
So this is a new year that used to be celebrated before changing something dates in calendar. If I'm not mistaken, it's 12th of January.
So you've just come back and you have another celebration.
Exactly, yes. As a kid, I used to love that because you still would have your Christmas tree on and you would find some gifts under.
I think you're a bit spoiled, actually. Do you have other celebrations through the year? Are there like national holidays, or do you have regional holidays? Because obviously Russia's so big. Are there other things you celebrate in other special ways that those are celebrated?
Well, we have another nice traditional thing is that we have 8th of March as a public holiday.
The
The
Women's Day
International
is.
Women's Day. And apparently it was a surprise for me how it's celebrated and how it's presented in Europe overall, which is would be like a little bit more correctly, because if you look historically on this date, it's a day when women they fight for their equality and rights and stuff like that. In Russia, we don't really have this strong movement of the rights. They are more or less equal, as I see that from my man's perspective. But anyway, this is the date when we appreciate all the ladies in our life. It starts from your mom and then your grandmom. It would be your spouse or your girlfriend and a teacher. And that's basically what we do. We prepare gifts and try to make this day special for all the women.
Well, thank you very much for that. So, do you have the mimosa flower and everything? Does that grow over there, the yellow?
Yeah, we have them. I'm not sure if they're traditional for that day, but any flowers we'll make it.
You'll make it, okay. Well, except for yellow tulips.
Exactly.
So we'll forget those. When it comes to then women, engagements, weddings, again, you said quite Christian, is the tradition the same? Is it like it is today now, a white dress, that kind of thing? Or is it you can wear what you like? It's.
Well, yes, it is still the tradition is the same as a white dress. The difference is nobody goes to church anymore because they're like the overall wedding is less religious thing nowadays. But it still would be white dress, sometimes even two, as my wife had, because the one would be the fancy one for the ceremony, and the second one would be the convenient one for dancing, the comfortable one. And yeah, it would be big gathering of the friends, but not as big as in Malta, so we don't really invite everyone. We have a list of guests, and it would be, well, the big wedding would be something around 100 people. I think in our wedding, we were still fresh graduates, not high income couple when we got married, so we had around 50 people, I think.
I think that's nicer anyway. You actually know everybody at your wedding and you get to speak to them and,
Yes, that's true. If you look back in history, we used to have a tradition when the wife's family, they're supposed to prepare, not sure what the proper English word for that, but basically like a lot of clothes and dresses and everything that the father would give with the daughter, so she will have it. It's not a thing anymore.
I think not a dowry per se, but there used to be a bottom drawer, we would call it in English, but that was more sheets and towels and things for the
Yes,
house.
exactly.
But yeah, no, that was quite a nice one. But now it's all wedding lists. Do you have wedding lists in Siberia as well, or is it people bring you things that are useful for your home, or is there another tradition for wedding presents?
Lately, it's probably something for my generation. Money is a normal gift. So for the birthday, for the wedding, bringing money as a gift is totally fine. So that's why people just do that, and then the couple just spend it on a honeymoon, or they buy something what they want.
Whatever they need, and it's just
Yeah.
regular, expected, and like
Yes.
you said, a smaller wedding, so manageable for everybody. And what's the format of the wedding then? If you said it's not in a church, what's the day like?
well, we have this special place called ZAGS. That would be the public registry where your marriage is registered, and that's turning into a little bit more of like a venue for celebration. So you would have a live musician playing the violin there. All the guests they come in. It's all very poshy, and that's something that you need to book far in advance, especially if you want a particular one. So now it's all online, so you can see the specific time slots, and it's literally like a pipeline, one in, one out, 15 minutes, next.
So what's special about the locations? Are they very beautiful, or is it finding the celebrant? Is it what why is it so, you want the specific one? Is it that's the one in your town, or that's the one you like, or?
Yes, some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller, some of them are newer, some of them are older. So if there is one, we happen to be in the one where that was freshly refurbished and it was absolutely beautiful, and we wanted this one because we got married in a third biggest city, so we had plenty of them to choose. Like every like part of the city would have their own local one, and that was like a centric one that we picked. And that would be where the wedding starts. Normally, if you're lucky, you want to pick up the morning slot. After that, before that, so I'm a little bit Russian. So before that, you would normally go to your wife's house or her parents' house. And the tradition is that you should go through their bunch of like through the bunch of exercises, or like it's like a quest when you need to answer questions,
All right.
come up with 100 of compliments, or pass a test, and it's all organized by your friends.
So this is humorous, though. This isn't
Yes.
serious. It's very humorous. This is similar, I think, to, I think it's Lithuania. They have seven challenges or something.
Maybe.
It's quite fun. So you have this quiz at the family home. Okay.
So then you finally meet her. She is usually dressed and with the makeup, and you're not supposed to see her the night before, so that's the first time you meet. Then everybody drives to this the public registry. You have the ceremony there, and then normally we would fire you would hire a photographer or a filmmaker, and you'll go to nice locations to have some good pictures. And by there, like 7, 8 o'clock, you'll go to a restaurant or the venue where you have the main celebration. There normally you would have a person like a showman. It was somebody who will entertain the guests, do it a bit of a quiz, and or you would have maybe a live band playing for you as well. The celebration, the main celebration, is also all around the tables, like in contrast with the Maltese wedding where you normally would have finger food. In the Russian wedding you will definitely have tables, a lot of food.
More vodka.
Of course, that's part of it. Then you have dances as well, but everybody will be gathered around the table.
Because they're all friends and it's a close
Yes.
community, you have a really, really good party. Does that last? Is it just a one day thing or do you spread it out over a few
Yes,
days?
there is a tradition that's called second day. There is no like specific thing how you would do that. All people do it differently. It not necessarily happens the second day after the wedding. But that's usually we have plenty of food left. It's less official, so people come with casual clothes, and you just hang out with friends. And it could be the same place, it could be just at their house. It depends.
And then would you normally have a honeymoon as well? You would go away immediately after
Yes.
your ceremony.
You should not like after immediately the ceremony. It also depends on the date. So, but yeah, you would normally have honeymoon. We had honeymoon in Thailand. Because from Siberia, it's not that far away. So we have direct flights there, and it's a very popular destination.
Just wondering as well. So, is there divorce in Russia in Siberia?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And is there gay marriage in Siberia as well?
The gay marriage is legally not allowed.
Not yet, okay.
So, like, Siberia is still being part of Russia, and the law around the gay marriage is very strict
And
there.
are they strict against or around the gay community in general?
Well, you touched a very challenging
Yeah, no, it's
topic.
a difficult one. It's just sort of just to give
So
a
to give you a
view.
perspective, I've been living in Malta 7 years. So whatever I'm saying is at least 7 years old.
Also, okay.
And I did not have any gay friends or gay people in Russia. Not because I don't like them, but just because it happened to like
You just
not
didn't
happen to
have.
happen. Yes, I didn't have anyone, or maybe I didn't know that. But later, when I get to know people who knows them, or I got to know some gay people who are originally from Russia here in Malta, there is nothing against of them, like in particular. So
Okay, so they could just carry on, there's no
nobody, like
restrictions.
overall, nobody cares. Like legally, yes, you can't adopt kids, you can't get married, so they
But that's in
probably
many countries, that's,
face some challenges. But overall, the majority of people, as long as it doesn't touch them directly, they're okay with that.
Fine, that's all we need to know. And just the closing subject of these interviews is the saddest bit, actually, is funerals. How do funerals happen there? Is it like in Malta where everything happens in a very quick time? Because I'm guessing your family, are you generally quite close in the same village, in the same town, or do people move away to work and live with their partners, etc.?
Yeah, when something like that happens, like all their usually bad news, they travel faster than the speed of light. So people get to know, and they know when it actually happens, so they have time to come and say last goodbye to the dead person.
And does the funeral happen in a church, or is it something that happens outside?
Yes, when it comes to funeral, even though the marriage is not that much religious tradition anymore, the funeral still is.
Okay.
So you would go to church, or you would bring the priest to your house over, it depends. And people just come and gather together. Then you would go to their cemetery. And after that, you always have like a small gathering again and around the table to say goodbye, basically.
Yeah.
And the difference, like the main thing about that is when you drink, you don't really like touch the glasses.
Ah, you don't chink. You don't do
Yes.
the toast. Ah.
You can even say something, but you don't do this last cheers like when everybody.
That's a subtle thing that would be is good to note, you know, because
Yes.
if you do end up at one of those sadly occasions, then yeah, knowing how to behave is absolutely key.
And this is the day when you do need to bring the even number of flowers.
Okay.
And it's usually the red, the specific one would be red.
What's the word in Russian?
Gwazdiki.
Ah.
Gwazdiks in Polish, but I don't remember the one in Russian.
I will have
But
to
they're
look it
in
up. It's not
English.
lilies, is it?
No.
No. Okay. So say it again so we can look it up.
Gwazdiki.
There you go. So, thank you for introducing us to some of the traditions in Siberia, particularly. Is there anything you were saying about the natives, for want of a better term? Is there anything different in those traditions that would be interesting for people to note?
They have their own New Year,
Okay.
which called in their language Turad Bayram, if I'm not mistaken. It's celebrated somewhere in spring, and they put like a piece of cloth around the bunch of branches of the tree.
Ah.
So you see a bunch of trees around the city, all
With clothes on.
colorful. Yes,
Ah.
it's not like a cloth, like a little piece of something,
Like
like a
ribbons or
stripe.
fabric or
Yeah,
something.
yeah,
Ah,
yeah.
okay. And that's to celebrate the new year.
Yes, they're New Year.
Ah. That's probably something to do with the lunar, isn't it? And the spring coming and
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
Oh, that's a nice one. Maybe we should, well, we don't have many trees in Malta, so you probably can't do that too much, but nice one to adopt. Anything else you want to share with us? Are there any other rites of passage that happen throughout life that you celebrate? Is there anything like, you know, when you turn 18 or when you're engaged or anything? Is there any other special occasions that happen?
Not really in particular. Like if let's say American having sweet 16, that's not something we do in Russia.
Okay. Well, that's been really interesting finding out about the etiquette and traditions in Siberia. Thank you so much, Alex, for joining me on this week's Good Manners Map.
Thank you very much for having me.